Welcome to Even Footed Games presents our game of Thirsty Sword Lesbians in conjunction with Potions and Potpourri. I am Erin. I am the director of Even Footed Games. And with me, I have some wonderful guests who I'm going to throw it to. Next is Cedar.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Cedar the Barefoot. I am Cedar the Barefoot all over social media. You might know me from the Twitch. You might know me from the TikTok. But I'm also on the Insta, the Twitter, and the Threads, and the one where the sky is blue. I think. I don't know.
What year is it?
It's time for Kayla.
That's me. I'm Kayla. I'm from the Potions of Potpourri podcast, aka the co-host of this podcast that's happening. I'm also just on the EFG team in general, and you can find both me and Keisha across the various indie TTRPG space playing games and talking about stuff. Who's next? Our friend Penny.
Yeah, hi, I'm Compeng. I also go by Penny. You can find me at Penny LaScroach all over the internet, talking mostly about TTRPGs, and I run a Discord server called Titterpig Academy where I teach people how to play TTRPGs. So that's a thing that I like quite a bit. And I'll send it over to Keisha to kind of get us started on this game.
Hello, everybody. I am Keisha, the other half of Potions and Potpourri, and Kayla put it perfectly, all the places and things you can find us. So rewind, listen to her. Great, you're caught up. Yeah, so we are all here today continuing our Thirsty Sword Lesbians mini campaign. I don't even know if it's really, to me, it's too short still to be a campaign, but that's just me because I'm a freak, but it's fine, whatever. But yeah.
It's a quest.
Quest. That's a good way to put it. I like that.
We're on a mission from Gad.
Better, the three paragons.
Who are basically gods.
Yeah, also yes. But yeah, I guess we can just kind of hop right into it. So you all have been given a quest by the three paragons of the Haven Cooperative. You've been knighted as Gal Paladins, where you go out and seek to help those who need it, to bring freedom, to bring equality, to bring love all across the universe. You were specifically sent to a world called Vivacia, as it is known that it was once a literal rainbow city that has turned gray. And so you were being sent there to see if you can't assist those who were kind of caught in this changeover, see what's going on, if perhaps you can bring back the colors. You all flew in on a ship, and that was being piloted by Syzygy.
Captain.
And you guys had a very smooth landing, but it was outside of the city in this brambly, prickly area that you had to traverse through. For the most part, you guys managed, but one of the characters got lost and encountered a being within that was also changed, but giving them a ribbon, managed to bring them back to what they were, and you guys were able to re-meet. And you made it through the Bramblewood, you made it up to the gate, you managed to persuade your way inside, and that is where we're basically going to pick it up from. So we have our four Gal Paladins just now walking inside. Again, this is a place where everything is just shades of gray. That is it. You are the only ones bringing in any signs of colors, of vibrancy, of any sorts. So you literally just stand out, almost blazingly so, in this place where it's just so muted. Everything here, everything around you is perfectly cookie cutter. Every single building that you see, you can barely differentiate because it's the exact same square shape, perfectly made to be the exact same height, width. All of the windows are perfectly placed in the exact same spot, the doors. There's no creativity to any of these buildings at all. You can't even almost tell the difference between where people must live and what could be like a shop. The only indication of that are these very basic square signs that will say something such as cafe, A, clothing, B. You know, just very basic names with a letter after it. There's nothing special unique about the names themselves. This is the first thing that you are greeted with, is just all of these, this line of these buildings on this perfectly made street where all of the cobblestones are also perfectly square and perfectly placed all along the street that you are walking down. Everyone is walking, you know, perfectly in the lane that they're supposed to. No mingling of any kind, you know, there's nothing of that sort. It just has to be all in line. Everything must be. So as you guys walk in, you can maybe have a little of a reintroduction of your character if you want, as we kind of zoom back down onto our gal paladins. Who would be probably the first couple of people? Would it potentially be Joe and Quinn, since you have
I think so.
Been here before? Okay.
I think so. Maybe cool. Even like Joe first and then Quinn.
Okay, so Joe is a tall and large muscled individual with gray skin currently, and she is got some brown leather armor on and a cloak over top of that that's kind of gray or black, and she has a sword at her side that is broken, and she looks very stiff and uncomfortable as she walks into the city.
Walking just behind Joe is one who is also very familiar with this place.
Yeah, that would be Quinn. Quinn is about average height, like 5'4", 5'5", or so. They have just on kind of nondescript clothes, just like loose trousers, some sort of tunic with a belt over it. Shades of like kind of deeper shades of grays, you know, like different tones of grays at least. And they have like a pretty wide belt over their tunic with like some pouches hanging off of it for storage and such. And they're looking around a little shiftily at everything, trying to take it all in rapidly. They also have like a little like half hood cloak thing, you know, just like a short cloak with a hood on it. So they have their hood up as well.
And not too far behind are two that have never been in a place like this, perhaps, or certainly not here. One of them, I would say, probably looks pretty interesting with, was it a serpent familiar? Is that right? Or a...
Yeah. So it is in fact my eerie companion is the mechanic game calls it. And that would be, the character's name is Violet. She has purple skin. Her hair is actually feathers that are yellow through most of them and pink on the tips. She's about 6 feet tall with purple skin, I think I said that, and a long yellow dress with slits that go all the way up to her hips. It's got a red floral pattern on it. And underneath that, she has some loose-fitting red pants and a sword made of a jawbone of like a giant snake, as well as a little snake companion that's like made out of shadow, whose name is Phantasm. And yeah, they're friends. Phantasm helps her out.
And bringing up the rear, probably with the most explosive amount of color, if I recall.
Is that me?
Oh, yes.
That's Alpaca. Alpaca is, you put it very well, Alpaca is wearing so many colors. It looks patchwork, but like in a very purposeful way, very jester-like trousers, like green and pink, much like the old, much like watermelon hubba bubba bubblegum. And like this loud red shirt and like blues and yellows and pinks and purples. It's just, it's a lot. She's got, as far as you can tell, very light bluish tone to her skin, but it's mostly just like mostly like on the outer edges of her body, like her, like the upsides of her hand, like the tops of her hands and her feet and her legs and stuff. But it looks like it kind of like, much like the fit, much like her, along her face and down her neck and probably down to her belly. I'm sure that Violet and Syzygy probably already know that the skin there is mostly what we would consider to be white. She's got these big, enormous blue-rimmed glasses, pink, horribly fuchsia headband, trying and failing to maintain a head of just wild, quite orangey, reddish B3 hair type. Curly, extremely curly, like spirals, and it's all over the place, and it just flops, and she's flops all over the place while she's moving. Her tail, she has a tail. It's about the same color as her hair. It's a bit hairy, and it's got a little tufty on the end, and she's walking along, much like a monkey, on the balls of her feet and her knuckles. She's got these big green eyes, and she's just looking about. She's excited, but more curious, shall we say. But also excited, I suppose.
I've never seen a 90-degree angle done with such precision and sharpness.
And so consistently, too.
What does B stand for on the clothing store?
It's just the second letter in the alphabet. It just denotes that it's different than clothing store A.
Is it different?
Well, it's a secondary building. So,
and
yes.
Why do they need a secondary building if it's the same thing?
Well, they're trying to make sure that there's enough of everything for the people here to shop and get what they need and feel like they're part of the community. And you can't just do that with one clothing store in one category.
But it's all the same clothing.
True. I think that that's, you know, I think that that's
B
nice
had the same thing
clothing.
As A.
Well, there's 3 options, Alpaca. I don't know if you could tell the difference between them, but we're allowed to choose 3 hairstyles, 3 pieces of clothing, and 3 other things.
Well, if it's all the same, then why do they need more than one?
I'm guessing
there's
this location.
3 options here, so that's
conveniences.
A little bit of a
but they're on the same bloody street.
You know what? That's
it's just clothing A, clothing B, clothing C.
If you get boots from clothing C, can you get like a jacket from clothing
can
A?
Can you match, is it okay to match them with clothing A?
Yes, everything is pre-approved.
I don't get it. It's like uniforms at school.
It's very similar to uniforms.
Yes.
Alpaca always made
you
changes.
You would see that literally everyone that you see has basically the exact same clothing. There's slight variations. You have the standard shirt, you have the standard pant or skirt or boots, but you don't have much beyond that. There's nothing stylistic about anything that they're wearing. It's all the exact same clothing. Perhaps you might see slightly darker grays, slightly lighter grays, but you see nothing of like patterns. Nothing of that sort. Everyone has basically the same pre-approved clothing, as well as the same 3 hairstyles that they are allowed to choose from.
I forgot so Alpaca still has the rest of that challah bread that's like a sugar crust.
Yeah,
and it's
so
giving off a very delicious aroma.
Are the people around like reacting to our presence here? Because clearly, at least 2 of us are definitely outsiders, which I'm guessing they don't.
And Alpaca smells nice, and everybody feels less aggressive about it, at least according to the magics of my superpowers.
You definitely note that many eyes are on your group. A lot of them kind of widened in shock, just like, they have colors.
They clutch their pearls.
And they kind of give you a wide berth as you guys are walking along the streets. I don't know if Quinn and Joe would kind of either consciously or subconsciously fall in that perfect line of the side that you're supposed to be walking, or if they're just kind of walking however, but I would assume perhaps Alpaca and Violet, you guys may not know this right away. It's just a wide street, a wide area to just walk about. You don't really know the specific lines you're supposed to follow, even though they're not literally laid out.
Well, Alpaca understands the flow of traffic because Alpaca's been in many a market and such and so on. But, like, walking in a straight line doesn't make any sense. There's lots of things to see. I mean, that remains to be seen, but of course. Alpaca's here and there and looking in this store and saying hello to anybody who passes by and then looking in confusion as they run to the other side of the street at a brisk white man walk.
Alpaca, I think that we might just do better to go kind of straight to the center of town to
see. That's where we're going.
Right. Yeah. I just mean people here might not be as friendly as you're used to.
Sometimes people aren't friendly wherever Alpaca goes. Sometimes people are more different.
I don't think
they're unfriendly. I think that they're just not used to friendly and they don't know how to deal with it.
I think you're best just keeping your head down and not talking to anybody, really. And the sooner we get to the castle, the better at this rate, because we have a lot of eyes on us. Quinn says as they're kind of like seeing the reaction to the group happening around them.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a problem not to talk to anyone. They're looking, but they don't seem to want to talk to us. I've waved at a couple of them. They didn't wave back.
So sorry, one of Alpaca's oppositional defiance. When she's told to do something, it's very hard not to do the opposite.
Oh, you defy,
like I defy authority as a reflex. That's one of the things that I did with SPD.
I made eye contact with someone. Oh well, I've also got fast friends though. That's another one of my things. When I need to impress and be vulnerable with people, and that makes me easy to befriend. And when they meet them for the first time, I can ask them about their interests and their questions and, like, their lives. And then they can take a string on me and I can take a string on them. And if I do something nice with that information, I get experience. Whatever that means.
Does Joe notice anybody looking at her in particular?
Hello, want to try somebody's bread? Is it sugar crust? I just made it.
Joe, you are probably paying particular attention to any enforcers that are about. They, of course, stand out with their standard uniform, and they are almost at every single corner of every single building that you do happen to pass. And they do give you kind of that look of, you know, they raise their head, narrow their eyes, as if they're kind of expecting trouble to come from your group.
But are you okay? You look sad. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be sad. Want some bread?
She's 4'10".
I know.
And she's also walking on the ground on all fours like a monkey. So, like, she's, like, holding this challah bread up.
All the way up. And yep. All enforcers, of course, have, like, raised boots to give them a bit more height on purpose so that they can ideally look down at everyone else.
It makes your calves look nice.
The enforcer would just kind of maybe take a step back, like a very unexpected this.
Are you gluten intolerant? I can make something else for you if you want. Violet, can you hold this? Please.
Oh, of course.
You can have some as well.
No, I will have to decline. I am only allowed what is the standard.
Oh, you've got like a specific diet. That makes sense. Do you know, like, the way to the castle? Violet's talking with, like, her mouth half full.
Oh, I think it's over there.
I think it's over there, too. It's in the middle, right? Like, oh, yes. Sorry.
It is in the center.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's just like down this way. I gotta point just to where
just
I am.
Just a general, yeah. Yes.
Joe and Quinn are like got their head in their hand. They're like,
just like, was this a good idea? Was this a terrible idea? They point in precisely where would be the center of the city. You can kind of see the tops of what should be the palace. It's again just a big square with some more squares on top of the big square. It's not an impressive building by any means necessary. It almost barely qualifies as even a palace, but you know, for this place...
What's a very geometrical cake style?
Yes, very much.
It's taking forever to sharpen the fondant on those angles.
It's not actually made of cake.
A metaphor. And also, oh. Alpaca was making a joke.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't get to be sorry.
We're not very familiar with jokes.
It's all right. I'll teach you, just keep making jokes. And then when you find it funny, you laugh. And if you don't find it funny, then I'll explain it. And therefore, it becomes funnier by law. Because a joke is always much more funny when you explain it.
I think that
especially if you have to explain it.
I think it might just be a you thing, Alpaca.
Well, you laugh every
time. People don't laugh when you explain your jokes.
You laugh.
Well, I laugh.
Do you not think I'm funny?
Of course I think you're funny.
Alpaca's very funny. Guardsman, individual, where's one get a nice cup of tea right here? Hey, up.
You can go to any of the cafes and you can get the standard tea.
What's the standard? Yeah, what's in it? It's a standard. Never heard of that.
Hot water mostly. Let's keep going, guys.
Is there no tea?
Yeah.
What do you mean hot water? That's not tea.
Quinn grabs Alpaca's lemon. Tail gently.
Whoa!
Like, freehand style-y and like kind of tries to tug them backwards a little bit.
Jeez, I didn't know you felt that way about me creating women in public.
Quinn has not noticed that at all. It is just continuing to gently tug your tail towards the other direction.
Coincidentally, you do happen to walk by Cafe ZAQ.
What's Zach? Cafe Zach. Who's Zach? Is Zach the one who owns it?
It's
Is it Zach's Cafe?
They're just letters. They mean nothing.
It's not. It's just to denote which one it is.
Well, that's a name. That's a name that denotes which one and who you are. Not necessarily who you are. You can always change your name if you don't like it.
Reign owns everything here. There's no individual ownership.
It's a chain restaurant cafe.
It's more like more a or capitalistic less. Restaurant.
Yeah, chain restaurant. That's a chain. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think the tea will be very much to your liking. Perhaps we could
She's already pushing open the door.
Alpaca is gone, as you're saying.
I want to try
tea at the castle. The castle probably has some better tea.
Why would the castle... Well, she's got the door halfway open. She looks over and she's like, why would the castle have better tea if everyone's supposed to drink the same thing? It's probably the same here. If it's the same here. And that's holding oneself to a high standard, isn't it? She goes and she like just goes on in, like pulls you by her tail. She like grabs the other end of her tail and pulls you in with her.
Joe kind of goes over to Quinn and says, it was a nice try. I thought it was going to work too, but there's no better tea, obviously.
I'm very logical. Alpaca is very logical.
We can't just leave him here to fend for himself, so we'd better stick around and make sure that they don't get swooped up.
She comes out and she's got a standard to go mug, standard top. It's very cylindrical, extremely so, I imagine. And
perfectly so.
And when you crack the opening portion, it clicks into place with a very satisfying...
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
And she takes it and she's like, this is a standard, they said. I think they forgot to put tea in it. She goes back
Yes. It's usually just hot water. We can sip it on the way to the castle, though, Alpaca.
And she comes back out. Okay, let's try this then.
It's... It's comforting, right? Just the hot water. I mean, it's nourishing.
This isn't tea.
It's not even hot. It's just tepid
this
water.
This isn't tea. This is tepid leaf juice. It's a slightly off.
Did they add color? Did they add leaf juice for you? That was kind.
It's not tea. This isn't tea. Tea involves
Don't you have like some dried mint or something? Maybe you can make a mint tea.
I was hoping to try the standard, but this is not a stand. This can't be the standard.
Hey, Violet looks around and is like,
and they only have one size.
Standard here.
It's only one size, and it's a medium. And I have to say, based off of, it's medium standard. That doesn't make any, for one thing, that doesn't make any sense. For two thing, the only way if this cup is a medium is if it can talk to the bloody dead. And this isn't tea.
Alpaca, I know this is a shock, especially considering where you're probably from. Well, that is how things are here.
She puts the cup on the ground.
To this place.
All right, that's fine. Let's keep going. She pops the top off. We're going to the palace. We got to talk to that lady. She's got a thing or two that she's got to learn. And she's like walking along. She's like digging through her pouches and stuff. And she's like putting things into the water and stuff. And like using her baking magic to make it warm.
Letting Violet try it every now and then.
She's like, does it need more? What does it need? A bit more oolong?
Yeah, do you have anything? Do you have any sweeteners?
I do.
Yeah. And like some oat milk?
Of course, gender fluid.
We're like halfway to a masala chai. That's all I'm saying.
That sounds delicious, honestly. Just need a bit more of a... Cloves.
As you were doing this, you know, you're bringing out all these flavors and spices and everything. You guys smell them as you're adding to this, to the hot water, basically, is really all it was. And literal, just like, it's hot water, and they put a leaf in there. Tea.
I told you, hot leaf juice.
It's a garnish.
It's a bloody piece of parsley that has no flavor.
It's like a bay leaf.
Yes.
A bay leaf has more flavor.
These smells are kind of getting even more attention to your group. You happen to pass by Bakery GJ.
A bakery GJ.
You see a person walking out towards in the storefront, and they seem to be walking towards you guys a bit cautiously, and they have the standard apron for Baker GJ to associate, of course, with their bakery. And they like look up at you. They have the standard updo hair, and you can just see the curiosity in their dull gray eyes.
How you doing? Oh dear, your ponytail's really tight. It looks like it's pulling on your forehead. Are you okay?
Yes. Thank you. That's the standard. I do. What is that odd smell?
It's either the challah bread if there's any left over from Violet, or it's a masala chai? Or like adjacent. It's adjacent. Masala chai adjacent. It's a bit MacGyvered, if I'm being honest. You want to try it? Just take a little sip.
They look very nervously around. You get the sense that what they're doing may be frowned upon. Seeing if there's any enforcers about. And there
look,
are
it's
a couple not too far away that
more of a beige
are
gray,
very
but...
pointedly looking in your direction. And
you want some too? Hello?
Alpaca, and at that, they start walking towards you.
Hi!
Alpaca, and the baker immediately cringes and begins to... Never mind. And
I slip her some color.
You're going to get these people into trouble with the enforcers.
They're drinking a cup of tea.
Yeah, it's not standard. Not approved.
It's got a standard on the cup.
We got
that's a standard medium.
Can we...
Barista, could you please dispose of this? Thank you. And she winks at them. All right, let's go.
The two enforcers block your path as Hello. You try to get around them, but they make Excuse sure me. To get in the way.
Oh, pardon me. And are you going left? I'm going right. Okay. Hello.
Quinn kind
you
of
are new
like,
here, clearly.
Quinn gets ready to unsheathe their sword, their hidden sword. They just kind of like put their arm out at an angle, just like in preparation. Continue.
You can see that all enforcers are allowed to have the standard sword as well. Both of them have their hands lightly, but pointedly resting on their swords.
You are allowed to have whatever it is that your colorful kind indulges in.
Excuse me?
But not ours. We would prefer if you did not taint the perfection of our people. If you have business, yes. Let it be done.
We're just on our way to our appointment with Empress Constance. We did not mean to derail anything. Our friends here are new, and they have not had time to learn about the customs. We'll be on our way shortly.
Violet, did that sound racist to you, or is it just me?
It sounded something.
Sounded really fucking racist. If it's one thing
Alpaca.
I don't like.
Alpaca.
Yes! I'm just gonna, you know,
Joe,
just gonna talk
Joe
to him.
Kind of pats your head a little bit, like, it's okay. We're just going
oh, no,
straight.
No, it's not.
I know. It's not okay.
One that was speaking is going to lean down towards Alpaca specifically, and you can see this horrible grin.
She stands up on her hind legs and meets him halfway.
Ah. You will comply with our rules. Yes.
If it gets us to where we're going, sure.
That is not an appropriate answer. Yes? Or
you did just say that I
no.
don't that an outsider doesn't have to comply exactly with your rules now, doesn't it?
You said that. You said that we can have
You literally just
whatever we want.
Said that. You did say you well not whatever we want, but you did say I'm just trying. I don't want to quote the law back at you, officer. Anyway, deepest apologies. And she does like a really deep bow and curtsy. Deepest apologies. We'll be on our way.
You
yes,
will.
We'll be on our way. You shan't see us again.
Is there a... certainly not. Could you point me in the direction of a standard general store? I want to try and pick you up a standard mint. Just out of the goodness of... Just as a gesture of peace and friendship.
There are no mints.
Standard friendship.
You do see kind of confusion cross their face at this word mint, because that means nothing to them. Flavor is outlawed here.
They
can't
brush their teeth with baking soda paste. It's just, let's go. Let's get out of here.
What do I have to roll to slip a sprig of mint into his pocket? With a little note that said, this is mint. No, she's trying to cause insurrection at the lower parts of the town. We maybe have gone off from the scene, but that barista, that like baker, still left with that cup of tea. Who knows what they did? They were going to dispose of it. And disposing of it doesn't mean not drinking it.
That is a very good point. The other enforcer would ensure that baker tosses that tainted cup of tea. So you see that other enforcer go into the bakery.
They're going to go have a taste on the way. Anyway.
I would say it's First oppositional one. Defiance for me to slip that
okay.
into his pocket.
Go ahead and read what that does. What does that entail?
You defy authority as a reflex. If someone tells you to do something, even if it's something you wanted to do, your instinct is not to do it. If you directly defy authority, gain a string on that person. If you comply, they gain a string on you.
What's your designation?
Did, Did you kind of comply? Because you are, in fact, just moving on.
No, I'm not moving on. I'm sticking a sprig of mint in his pocket as a sign of opposition, because that's what mint is. If it's acceptable by the Game Master.
I would say...
If not, that's okay. We can just keep going.
Let's see, maybe... Grace?
Not even kidding. That's a 6 and a 5, and I have a plus 1 in Grace.
Beautifully done. Excellent. Yeah, you managed to just deftly...
She does it with her tail.
That right in. Oh, even better.
The tuft of her tail, like very Dr. Seuss. It's like a hand. It goes, plink, boonk.
So, yeah, you managed to secretly kind of plop that in there and slip on by. And that enforcer just seems a bit stunned and does not pursue you guys. Just kind of lets you continue on. It seemed as if this was building up to a confrontation that you probably did not want to deal with.
No, we didn't.
But Alpaca managed to just
raise right
on
through. As we begin to walk away, Quinn kind of walks next to Alpaca and like leans their head down slightly and just says, Alpaca, I know this is difficult for you, but there will be a time and a place where your rage will matter. Just try and hold it a little bit longer.
It's not rage for me, Quinn. It's rage for all of you.
Well, regardless of where it comes from, sometimes there's a time for it, and other times we have to hold it back. At least that's what we've been taught here.
I don't like it. Also, his breath was really bad.
I know, but...
He might have gingivitis.
Hopefully we can change that soon. Good thing you gave
him a minute. Is there a standard dentist? He's got gingivitis. His breath was bloody awful.
Yeah, there.
Or he just drank your standard
everyone.
Tea. You might have just had a cup of your standard tea. Whatever that is. How's my breath?
You all move on. Does anyone take any time to look back? Or are you just going forward?
Alpaca is like eyes everywhere. Like occasionally she'll even take off her glasses at some point. She'll like...
Yeah, I want to say Violet's probably looking around quite a bit as well, just because she's kind of in awe of how uniform this place really is. Like, she'd heard about it, but she did not believe that it was to the extent that it is.
You know, yeah, same thing, because the last time I saw organization to this extent and the uniformation at this extent, it was a rescue mission. Free your people.
I don't think that I've ever seen organization to this extent.
Violet, usually. I would also say that Phantasm is also your extra pair of eyes. And, like, kind of gives you, like, a little tap on the shoulder and kind of, like, points with their slithery tail to look just past where you have already walked towards that bakery that you guys had stopped by briefly. And you managed to catch... And Alpaca, I would say, as well. Quinn and Joe, you guys are just very, like, we need to get there. We need to get through this as quickly as possible. It's already been too much. Violet and Alpaca, you do happen to see the enforcer dragging that baker out. Cup in one hand, baker in the other arm. The baker, you can just hear faint calls of, no, I didn't mean to. Before the enforcer... shoves the baker into the street, and you can see gestures. That second enforcer that did speak with you guys joins them. Joe and Quinn, you hear this commotion. This catches your attention as well. You know what this is, what this scene is leading to. This person is very likely being taken to the fixer.
We need to go before we cause any more harm.
I agree.
The baker didn't do anything wrong.
For them, for this place, they say that that is wrong.
Their curiosity was...
We can't change things from here. We
can change things for that baker.
I mean, but there are way more of the enforcers. We need to change it from the top down.
Alpaca's gone. Sorry.
We should go get them.
We should go help them.
I think Journey is right, and Journey and I have the most experience here. The sooner we can go speak to Empress Constance and work on reversing the selfsame reign, the better it'll be for everybody in the long run. Instead of trying to help each individual person, we need to help everybody as a group.
Come on, come all, come see how well you can resist temptation!
Violet looks to Quinn and says, "He and Joe didn't change anything for the better while you were here. Maybe you need to try it our way." And then just walks off in the direction of the baker.
Oh, ooh. Fuck.
I feel like that's gotta pull on something.
Yeah, something.
All the strings. All of them.
Did I gain every a string on that guard via that mint planting, BT Dubs?
Probably.
You did, yes. Yeah. Yes, you did.
I don't think he gave me his designation.
That would be...
I'll just call him Enforcer Bad Breath.
Bad Breath. Beautiful.
He is Keisha. BB, actually. It's weird.
He is Enforcer BB. Just a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Hey, BB.
BB Enforcer.
Keisha, would you consider what Violet just said to Quinn something that would give me feelings?
I would certainly consider that. Yes.
Not good feelings.
Nope, no, but feelings.
But I have some feelings.
Violet probably should be sorry. She's not currently.
That's fine.
That is totally fair. How does Joe have any... go ahead. Yeah, continue.
I was going to say that Quinn just, like, looks at Joe. You can't really tell, but they're getting to be close to frustrated. And they say, "We need to do something. This is getting out of hand. And it's going to cause more problems than they already have."
So, I glanced at it. It sounds like the way conditions are applied is by making characters stagger. One of the outcomes of the stagger move is to take on conditions. So, if we make Joe stagger, Aaron gets to choose currently at 0 to 3 conditions. You get to choose whether you want to take conditions or one of the other options, lash out at someone, hesitate, or stumble.
I thought you did this to Quinn, though.
I guess it's kind of both of you. Like, it I was responding be. To Quinn, because Quinn spoke most recently, but it, like, overall, I think it was to both of you, of like,
this I think it's more of
trouble.
A...
We're supposed to help them.
Would you, it's kind of up to you guys if this is kind of an emotional blow that would affect your character. If so, this would be, that may have been a staggering move, but that's, I would say, up to you if it would qualify for that heavy of a blow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was all of the blow. Like, whatever blow it could take. Joe's done. Like, Joe
so
is
Joe,
broken.
Joe definitely is staggered. Would you say Quinn as well?
Yes, I think that would definitely throw Quinn off quite a bit. They wouldn't show it, but I think they would hesitate for sure.
So, yes, stagger. You have 3 options. You can lash out at someone whose regard matters to you, provoke them to do something foolish or harmful and take advantage of a string on them. You can hesitate or stumble, giving them opposition, giving them an opportunity. You grin and bear it, and you mark 2 conditions.
Ooh, I think Quinn would grin and bear it then, and mark 2 conditions.
Yeah, I'm going to take guilty and hopeless.
Okay, so go ahead and
mark
those.
I'm going to take guilty and angry.
Yeah.
All right. And having conditions does affect your characters with future and potential roles, unless if there are ways to try and remove those conditions. But at this time, it seems that the party is a bit divided. There's just the tiniest little crack in this group. And we'll see if that crack grows or if you find a way to mend it. So, Alpaca, you had left pretty quickly earlier seeing this, Where did you go? What is it that you were doing?
She went immediately back to that strip in front of the bakery and the cafes and whatnot. And she called out what she called out. Come one, come all, and see if you can resist temptation. The wonders of the thing of worlds outside. And essentially, I am going to be activating one of my obsession move.
Okay.
Which is a move that I can take from another playbook as someone who is obsessed with collecting hobbies, sometimes to my own detriment. And I have chosen a move from the Troubadour playbook. The move is called Number of the Beast. When you transgress societal norms to attract attention, you become the center of attention and roll plus spirit.
Okay. So currently you're trying to get all attention on yourself? Mm-hmm.
And use that center of attention as a way to bargain, as if this is something to test the resolve of the people and whatnot, I guess, to, but like, it's a show. She's trying to put on some sort of a show here that, and convince these enforcers and any of the people that are around that no one is at fault here. This was merely a test. And you can only grow from your mistakes. But the problem is, you didn't make a mistake. She's trying to start grassroots stuff. She's trying to plant the seeds of doubt. Quite literally dropping seeds from her belt. Because where do things grow? Asphalt.
Alpaca may have noticed that this place is perfectly clean and clear of any kind of plant life, that is for sure. It's just kind of like a side note as well.
Not for long.
But yes, you make that declaration.
She threw so much clover seed.
Everywhere.
That's what she threw when she said that. Resist temptation!
The two enforcers look your way. One of them has already drawn his blade, and the other one still is firmly holding on to the arm of the baker. You see, now that you have gotten close again, the hand that she had used to kind of take away that cup, the sleeve had fallen a little bit, and you see just a hint of color right on her wrist, just the barest little hint, a splash of this very, very light pink. You probably would have missed it if not for the fact that they're all gray, so any kind of coloring would just, it would be like a beacon in the night. The two enforcers look towards you, and the one who has drawn his blade steps towards you, Alpaca. At this point, Violet, you are just behind as well. Quinn
My
and Joe are
drawn,
a little bit.
I will add.
Let me show you something. Let me show you something.
Guard's drawing a sword, so am I.
Let me show you something. There's this hobby, it's called painting. And I don't have any paints on me right now because I've since put that hobby to the side for a little bit. But hear me out. Finger painting.
She reaches out and she starts touching, just hurrying past people. And she's literally finger painting on things that she touches. And she makes sure as she's passing around that she smears it on the inside of the wrist of this person.
Ooh,
just for safety's nice. Sake, but also nice. Leading to trying to lead to inspiration. Every finger is like your standard food color, like the yellow, the green, the blue, the red. And I do get to roll as by using this move. I can roll whenever you want me to. There are a series of, okay.
Yep. You can see that the enforcers, like, they're focused on you, but the one that was holding on to the baker may have caught that color on the wrist. Perhaps that's what's leading to this, but is kind of unsure. And
I smeared it on his hand, too.
And just smearing everything. Yeah, go ahead. Make that roll.
So, I just barely succeeded here. Because I rolled an 11, and I have a minus 1 spirit. On a 10+, your transgressive music inspires your audience to work together.
I don't know exactly why taught this to hate color the way you do. And hating is not a standard thing. It's a taught thing. You don't... To try and equalize a people, you don't take the ones who excel or are more skilled in one way or another and bring them down. You give the ones who aren't there yet the tools to succeed and exceed. It's a taste. Everyone was born with taste. Some people don't, actually. That's like a thing with like a anosmia where you can't smell anything, you know? But like, you can't put a collar weighted down with chains on someone just because they're tall to make them stoop. Try finger painting once in a while, for fuck's sake. It was my cup of tea. It's my fault. I was obviously sent here by whatever powers that be to test all of your resolve and to see if it's worth it. You can't punish people for love.
So you make this speech, and you don't have to speak very loudly because the crowd around you has quieted and your voice carries. And you had reached out, spreading paint here and there, smearing it, all these colors all across on the gray stone and the gray wood and maybe the gray collars of some of the people and sleeves. So they're all seeing these little splatters of color and they're listening to your words.
She's twisting unicorn bread with her colorful fingers with her flowers.
Perfect. Even better. And you know that you are reaching so many of these people. Some of them, sure, maybe mainly to the backs of the enforcers, you're starting to see heads nodding. You see glimpses of some of them looking down at these colors and looking at specific ones as if they resonate with those colors, as if something's starting to click here. The two enforcers seem uncomfortable with this situation, but are still trying to hold fast. This is their job. This is what they were taught to do. This is the way that they're supposed to be. And you see the one with the drawn sword say, "Well, you can go and try to disrupt our system, but this system is in place so that we don't have these scuffles. We don't have these sort of things to raise some higher above others. This is the only way. If all are treated the same, seen the same, then we are the same. That way, there is no love, but there is no hatred. It is the best of both worlds by having none of it. Spreading this chaos will only give reason for people to want to fight with each other, to want to turn away from certain others because they don't think the same way or look the same way. This is how we are shown. This is how we are raised. This is the self-same reign. This is..."
"And yet you turn away from me because I look different. And I wear something different because I don't look the same as you do. And there's nothing wrong with differences. I know. I know. But you've got your barrier up. And you think that this is a contained thing, that everything is perfect here, but it's not. Whatever's going on is leaking out into the world beyond. Have you even seen what it looks like out there anymore? Do you remember what it looks like out there? It's starting to bleed into the environment. Pretty soon you're going to have nothing but a grey ball of dust to live on. And
the two enforcers look at each other. As you say, as you're saying this, you get the sense that no, they know nothing outside these walls.
Check your pocket, bad breath.
His hand goes to his pocket, and then he pulls out what you had placed there.
Sprig of mint. And that's just... mint. Even if you throw that on the ground right now, the mint left something with you, and you can smell it. There's nothing wrong with brushing your teeth with baking soda. In fact, it's actually much better than some toothpastes that are out there mass marketing. But just because you do that, just because someone said it was this way or has to be this way, you didn't stop to think whether or not you should. You don't have to be the product of your environment. That's not how it works. You can be influenced by it, yeah. But I don't know, I just feel like it's not equality. It's not there's not envy here. You know, there are four causes of war or hatred, as you say it. And one of the reasons that it exists is freedom. Because that's worth fighting for. And also, sometimes in fighting and wrong things happen because of some king's lies.
The enforcer looks down, holding that sprig in his hand, and he closes his fist. Maybe not necessarily crushing it, but at least hiding it from view. And he lowers his hand, he looks at his partner, and kind of let that one go. And the other enforcer releases the baker. And the two look around at everyone and kind of gesture, like, get back to work, get back to what you're doing, the spectacle is over. But he looks down at you, Alpaca, and he says, I think it's best that you go see the Empress sooner than later. We have
After this, I will.
Do.
After this, I will. I'm not asking you to change of a knot or anything. It takes a long time to unlearn and to recognize and to find a way through and past your trauma. Especially if it's a generational thing. Don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong for feeling emotions. Anger isn't a bad emotion. It's just there. It's just anger. Sometimes even hatred. Like, I hate tomatoes.
Alpaca can take a string on Quinn because they were secretly very moved and impressed with that whole speech that she just gave.
The enforcer, sorry that I caused a ruckus.
He just holds up a hand, just stop.
Okay.
I can't hear any more of your
okay.
words.
Okay.
I need you to just move on.
Can I ask you one more question, please?
Yes.
And I'll give you something in return. What's your name? My name's Alpaca.
Enforcer BB.
What's your name? That's your designation. What's your nomenclature?
I never really learned my name, but I started to. I know it starts with Ollie.
I hope you learn the rest of your name, or even get a nickname that you like. I think that a good contender might be Ollie Ollie Oxenfree.
It's better than Bad Breath.
Yeah. You know, you can put that thing, that, you know, you can put a leaf of that, if you break it off with a stem, you can put it in your mouth. I'll see you, bye.
Okay, bye.
Toodles. Okay, bye.
So Alpaca turns away.
She grabs, like, Violet's, like, robes or skirts or something, and just, like, tugs on it like a
child.
Yeah,
Violet, you were there, you know, right by Alpaca, just in case if things were about to get down. Your sword is drawn and everything.
Thank you for coming for me. To help
of course,
me.
You were doing a
I
lot
would
of
say.
Thing. And you did a great job. I didn't even need to hit anyone. You saw me, right? I had my sword out
I
and
did.
Everything.
I did. That's actually why I got. That's actually why I got so ballsy, to be honest with you.
Since Alpaca had turned away and Violet, you were still kind of facing forward. You have a moment of locking eyes with that enforcer, and you swear you see just an inkling of green in that enforcer's eyes. As soon as that enforcer had said something along the lines of, I don't know my name, but I know it begins something like Ollie. You have this understanding of they're getting close, and it's not complete, as if he's about to realize who his true vivacious inner self is supposed to be, but he's not quite there yet, and it's just about but not quite. So with that, the two of you turn away, and the scene has ended. The two enforcers are at work trying to scrub away the paint that has splattered everywhere. But maybe a couple of green splotches might have gotten missed. The baker sees you leaving and turns as if to follow. You guys kind of regroup, going back to where Joe and Quinn were kind of left with that blow, that emotional blow from earlier. And this is probably actually a good place to stop right there, of how you guys kind of reconnect after that and continue on.
Some emotions happening.
I have a tear. I have tears.
Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back with you with our final episode next week. Toodaloo.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.